Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
All right. Well, we talked about education. Let's turn to housing, our other favorite topic here at Radio Boston. And joining me now in the studio is the incoming head of Mass Housing, Crystal Cornegay. Mass Housing is the quasi-public agency that finances affordable housing in the state. And in other words, if you're a person who has low to moderate income and you want to buy a house, or you're a developer who wants to build affordable or mixed income rental housing, Mass Housing is the place you go for help. Cornegay will start in the position later this month. Right now, she's the state's undersecretary for housing and community development. And again, as I said, she joins us now in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. It's a real pleasure to meet you. So what prompted you to make the move to Mass Housing? What was the attraction there?
It was an extension of work that I was doing in terms of thinking more deeply about how to finance affordable housing, workforce housing in the state as the need got bigger.
Okay, so tell us a little about your background, because you're the first person of color ever to lead the agency.
Yeah, my background, I was born in New York, one of those Brooklynites he was just talking about. And, you know, I came here, I tell people I came here to go to school and got stuck.
I know the feeling.
And had a great career. It's a great community, so I say that lovingly. And, you know, I went to school to study urban planning and got really interested in affordable housing development and community development. And so, you know, the rest is kind of history.
Yeah. Now, if I may ask, I mean, right now you're going to be heading an agency whose purpose is to aid moderate and low income Bay Staters. Were you moderate or low income when you were growing up?
Yes. I was low income, I guess you could describe, in Brooklyn. And, you know, but one of those kind of things where, like, everybody around me was, so you don't necessarily feel the same way. But mostly about community development is really about making places where people can grow and thrive. And affordable housing is a key kind of component of that. Mm-hmm. But housing in general, right, and the way people experience life is kind of like what they see around them and what's possible and how they think about themselves.
Yeah. Now, this may be the most gauche question ever, but where did your interest in housing and becoming a housing advocate and now kind of administrator for a quasi-public agency, where did that come from?
So I worked, one of my first jobs was at a local community-based organization in Bedford-Stuyvesant, and they did workforce development programs. And it occurred to me that people had a hard time getting through the program, mostly because they had all these issues around their housing, right? They were either not housed stably, they were paying too much, or, you know, they got evicted, and, like, people couldn't focus on the things around economic prosperity if they didn't have a solid base. Mm-hmm. And I also started to see, like, what people thought they could be was a function of what they saw around them. And so where you lived really mattered.
Yeah. Well, as Undersecretary for Housing and Community Development, you gave a speech to the Massachusetts Smart Growth Conference in 2016. It was a great speech, and it was really interesting. There's one part about it in particular that I wanted to ask you, because you shared your history, and that you said to many people, quote, "You're an advocate of the community development movement, an executive of a successful nonprofit, and then undersecretary." But you said that the one thing you've always been is Black,
right,
and that you bear the scars of institutional racism. I mean, tell me more about that. How does that then play into your work and your decision making now?
I think sometimes when you talk about race, it makes other people uncomfortable. And what I try to do is to make people understand that I'm Black, right? Like, every time I look in the mirror, look, there's a Black woman. And so I'm not surprised about it or uncomfortable, and neither should you, whoever the you is. And when people see me, they see a Black person, and I embrace that because it is what it is. I'm very sort of pragmatic about it. It is what it is. And it comes with certain things in America. Mm-hmm. The way I kind of talk about it is like we all are prejudiced in the sense that there's always so much information. Like when you grow up in New York, like there's like 8 million people, like there's all this information all the time. And so you sort of look at people and prejudge them.
Right.
Right. But prejudice is really, racism is really about you assuming that that prejudgment is right, mm-hmm. and never taking the time to figure out like how people are different and, you know, what they bring to the table. And so that's sort of the way I've always thought about it.
Yeah.
So.
And you bring a lot to the table, right? Because there's one more part of your background that I want to talk about, because you used to head Urban Edge,
yeah.
in Jamaica Plain. That's a community development corporation that began, I love this story, as a real estate brokerage firm 40 years ago, specifically to combat redlining.
Yep.
And that's where you met Governor Baker?
Yes. I was working there, and then candidate Baker was going around talking to people. We met each other and fell in love.
So now you're going from a housing advocate, and then you went into state government as undersecretary, and now you're heading mass housing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, just to remind folks, this is a quasi-public agency that doesn't use tax dollars, but it essentially finances affordable housing, helping people get into it and helping it get built, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we talk endlessly on this show, because it's so vitally important, about the housing crisis in this state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you see mass housing's role in fixing that problem?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I see mass housing's role, and let me be clear, like it's a role that the problem has to be addressed by everybody, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not like mass housing is going to fix the problem or I'm going to fix the problem. What we can do is support folks who, you know, come up with products and policies to support folks who are working, who are low income and need a place to stay and want to be part of the commonwealth and sort of, and so our role is to come up with products and stuff to make that easier for folks.
Right.
But to also be part of the discussion with municipalities, with government and such about how we do more housing production.
Yeah. So you've got, what, $7 billion in assets under management?
I think so.
It's a pretty good chunk of change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm particularly interested in the creation of mm-hmm. mixed income housing
mm-hmm.
because every housing expert that we've talked to on this show for 7 continuous years said that really the only way out of it is that we got to build more.
Right.
So, you know, how much is the financing of construction part of mass housing and should it be more?
The financing of construction is a big part of what mass housing does, right? Basically, it's a bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so financing real estate deals that, you know, is what it does. And we operate in an environment in which it's not really, the barrier isn't access to capital. Let's say it that way.
For construction?
For construction.
Okay.
The barrier isn't access to capital. It's like getting site control and getting through a permitting process.
Yeah.
And so, like, once you can do all of that, then we're there to help. And we're also here to add a voice around sort of what those policies should look like and how they might impact what production is and access to capital.
So tell me more about that, right? Because as you exactly rightly said, like mass housing can't control what zoning is and it can't like make the permits get generated faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you say you can be a voice in those policies, what do you mean?
I mean, there are a couple of things. So one of the things as part of my role as undersecretary, of which mass housing was at the table, we helped develop with the governor the Housing Choice Designation Initiative. And really that's about communities who are doing good stuff around housing production and how we as both quasi-public agencies and the government can support them doing that.
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean. It's like sometimes it's one of the things that mass housing did was create a program to provide technical assistance to municipalities as they consider how to do more housing production.
Oh,
and so it's things like that
okay.
they can do. But also just, you know, like a voice at like testimony when, you know,
the
Joint Committee of, on this program and things like that.
So. No, I have to say I'm always very grateful when people who are just coming into a new position come in and talk with us, because I'm always throwing questions at you like, how are you going to solve this major problem? How are you going to fix this crisis? And, you know, you haven't even been on the job for a week. So I'm really grateful for it. But you know, everyone in Massachusetts cares rightly about housing. So I'm sure they're eager to hear what you have to say. But before I let you go, there's one more thing about the purchasing side that I wanted to ask you about, because we've been hearing that that there are some folks who are saying that they feel like they're at a disadvantage as a mass housing buyer, because they can put a really low down payment down, and that they're concerned that sellers may be looking at those low down payments and saying, well, I'm not going to sell to this person because I'm concerned that they're not going to be able to make it to closing. Have you heard that before?
I have never heard that before. Honestly, that's a little surprising to me. We don't have, I think the products that Mass Housing has available from the seller side are meant to help people. And, you know, like the low down payment means that people, you know, like you and I can have access. I bought my first house with a Mass Housing loan.
Yeah.
And certainly got to a closing. I still own the house. Got to closing and that kind of thing. So, no, I've never heard that. But one of the things I will do whenever I do start the job is really be trying to reach out to people and talk to them to hear these kind of things and see if there are things that we can and should be doing about them at Mass Housing.
Well, how about this? How about in 6 months, you want to come back and maybe I can throw these same questions at you about how you're going to solve housing?
As long as you give me the tape of this one so I can remember what I said.
It's always on our website, radioboston.org, but we'll send you the link. Absolutely. Crystal Cornegate, incoming head of Mass Housing. That's the state's billion-dollar agency that finances affordable housing, quasi-public, I should say. She's currently the Undersecretary of Housing and Community Development. It's been great to talk with you. Thank you so
too.
Much.
I'll see you in 6 months.
See you in 6 months. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.